Well, I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning. If you're visiting with us, thank you for coming out and choosing to be a part of this work this morning. For everyone else, thank you. Thank you for coming out. As always, thank you for your encouragement. Elders, thank you for the opportunity to always present a lesson to you. And I always look forward for the chance that we get to be here. So thank you again for coming out this morning. The topic we're going to talk about this morning is fear. And I don't know if you've ever been in front of a line like that before, but I can guarantee you if you were, probably would have a little fear, right? Well, what are you fearful of? I'm sure somebody has fears of many different things, and there's all kinds of phobias that are out there. What about that? I find that most people, I don't care if it's a little green snake that's 2 inches long, don't like something slithering on the ground in front of them. They jump. Now, once they jump and think about how ridiculous it was for jumping and being scared of a 2-inch snake, they calm down a little bit. Some people don't. They jump and stand on things because snakes scare them. Spiders. Oh, just the way it crawls and crawls on stuff and crawls on you. Boy, that is something that is very fearful, something you don't like. And it's something that gets a little crazy. What about this one? Clowns. Clowns is something that people are fearful of. And I don't know why, but they are. They've even made movies scary movies out of clowns and clowns doing things. But, you know, maybe that's something that you're afraid of. What about this one? Getting old. Is that something that you're fearful of? See, there are all kinds of fears out there. This next one is one that I've actually had a lot of fun learning about over the last decade. But the fear of the stock market crash. It is interesting to me that you can make a living off of other people's fears in the stock market. For instance, the COVID-19 crash was all based on fear, right? And I put a couple things up here just to prove a point here. Peabody Energy, one of the largest coal companies, I do a lot of trading with them. They got all the way down to $2.81 right after the COVID situation. They're back up to $11.28 now. ExxonMobil, which I owned ExxonMobil when it got to $32.74. It had been $70 a share pre-COVID in December. $70 a share, dropped all the way down to $32.74. Now it's trading at 66, ended 68 on the week. United Steel Company, one of the largest steel companies in the world, dropped all the way down to 529, now trading at $25 18 months later. And then the last one, the company I work for, we got all the way down to $1.14 a share. I didn't know if I had a job when it was $1.14 a share. Now look at it, $16.44. What caused all of that? Nothing actually happened other than fear. Fear caused of what the unknown was with this COVID-19 and what was going to happen. And quickly, everything rebounded and a lot of millionaires were made because of those fears. Fear implies anxiety and usual loss of courage. Fear of the unknown is also a major anxiety catalyst. Dread, also associated with fear, usually adds the idea of intense reluctance to face or meet a person or situation and suggests aversion as well as anxiety. Fear does a lot. And you know, you look at the Bible, fear caused Abraham to lie about his wife. If you turn to Genesis chapter 20, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now Abraham journeyed from there toward the land of Negev and settled between Kadesh and Shur. Then he lived for a time in Gerar. And Abraham said to his wife, Sarah, 'She is my sister.' So Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent men and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream in the night and said to him, 'Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is married.' Now Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, 'The Lord will kill
kill a nation, even though blameless? Did he himself not say to me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this. Then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know that your integrity of your heart, and you have done this and also kept from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now then, return the man's wife, for he's a prophet, and he will pray for you and you will live. But if you do not return her, know that you will certainly die, you and all who are yours. So Abimelech got up early in the morning and called out his servants and told all those things in the presence, and the people were greatly frightened. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? And have I sinned against you that you have brought to my kingdom a great sin? Have you done to me things that ought not to be done? And Abimelech said to Abraham, what have you encountered that you have done this thing? Abraham said, but I thought surely there is no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she actually is my sister, the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came about when God calls me to wander from the father's house that I said this, in the kindness is which you have shown me. Everywhere we go, say of me, he is my brother. Abraham was afraid. He was afraid because of his wife, and she must have been very beautiful. For whatever reason, he was afraid because of her that other men or kings would kill him and would take his wife. So fear caused him to lie. Fear caused Moses to flee Egypt. Now it came about, this is in Exodus verses 11 here through 15. Now it came about in those days when Moses had grown up that he went out to his fellow Hebrews and looked at their hard labors, and he saw the Egyptian beating a Hebrew and one of his fellow Hebrews. So he looked this way and that, and when he saw there was no one around, he struck and killed the Egyptian and hid his body in the sand. Now when he went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other, and he said to the offender, why are you striking your companion? But he said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and said, surely the matter has become known. When Pharaoh heard about this matter, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Moses fled because he was fearful for his life. Fear almost prevented Moses from returning. And you remember the burning bush, the fear of people not knowing who sent him, and the fear that people wouldn't believe that God sent him, and the fear that he couldn't talk, and the fear of being rejected. Moses, over and over, had these excuses, all based on fear. But we know ultimately God gave him everything he needed to go back. But it was fear that was preventing him. You know, fear caused Peter to deny Christ. If you look over in Mark chapter 14, 66 through 72, and while Peter was below the courtyard, one of the slave women of the high priest came, seeing Peter warming himself. She looked at him and said, you were with Jesus the Nazarene as well. But he denied it, saying, I never know nor understand what you're talking about. And he went out on the porch, and the slave woman saw him and began once more to say by the bystanders, this is the man, is one of them. But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders were again saying to Peter, you really are one of them, for you're a Galilean as well. But he began to curse himself and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And immediately a rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had made the remark to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he hurried on and began to weep. Fear prevented Peter from standing up and saying, I am with Christ. I am with him. Fear is what prevented that. Fear is one of Satan's greatest weapons. Satan uses this weapon every day, all the time. in many ways. And you take it even out of when he's trying to use it for his benefit. Fear is just something that prevents us all. I remember in college, I used to observe just craziness with guys. There were guys I lived with, and they'd sit around and they'd be whining and moaning about how they didn't have a girlfriend. They'd be whining and moaning how they hadn't had a date in 27 years, you know? And it's like, I'd go look at them and be like, well, hey, why don't you go ask so-and-so out? Well, she may turn me down. So what? At the end of the day, what'd you have? You didn't have a date before you asked her. You might have a date afterwards, so what have you got to lose? Fear of rejection. I see people now that are afraid of changing jobs. I might not make it. I might not be successful, so I'm too scared to try it. Or people, you know, trying to do all different kinds of things in life. I see it over and over and over again. This whole fear of what's going on. I'm in sales. I've been in sales my whole life. I've been rejected a whole lot. Remember, I've been rejected so much. I love being rejected. It's just one of those things. You kind of lose that fear because you're like, I'll move on to the next one. And then, you know, eventually you get somebody who says yes. And you got to keep moving forward. And I think that's one thing, good thing about sales has taught me that if you keep moving forward, you keep working hard, eventually you're going to get there. And that's with anything in life. You keep striving harder and working harder, you can do it. But Satan uses this. He uses this to prevent you from going out and teaching others about the Word of God. He uses this to prevent you from encouraging one another. He uses this to prevent you from doing good. He uses this in so many different ways because the fear that you have that comes with it. And what is interesting is your theme this year is being imitators of Christ. And there is one thing that Christ did not have, and that was fear. Christ took everything head on, even up to the cross. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, in which he did have fear of what was going to happen that day, but he met it head on. He prayed to God like we should when we have things we are scared of, and we lay it on the line, and we put it in God's hands, and then we move on. Christ did not let fear prevent him from doing what he came here to do. And in this month, your theme is that we went about his Father's business. Don't let fear prevent you from going about the Father's business. Don't let fear step in the way of what needs to be done. And you know, there were some gentlemen here that we're going to look at. And fear can prevent you from going about and doing that and preventing you from doing that, going about the Father's business. And Satan tried to use fear from a couple of gentlemen we're going to look at here. He was going to try to use fear to prevent these following men from being about their Father's business. And you know, I love the Indiana Jones movies. They're great. They're very religious, but non-religious because factual stuff is not as good as it should be. But there is some truth and some facts in those movies. But I remember I forget that there's another last one. It's the third one of the series of four or five, however many there is now. And he has to take this leap of faith. And he's looking through these two canyons, and it looks like there's just a floor. You're going to fall forever. But his dad's dying, and he has to be brave. He has to take that. And I love that here, of being fearless. And sure enough, when he stepped down, there was a walkway. He just visually couldn't see that. A lot of time in life, there's things that we can't see that are there. But we got to be brave and move forward. Fearless is a free from fear. In a synonym here, being brave. Instead of having fear, let's be brave. Let's be fearless. Let's be fearless like David. In 1 Samuel 17... when the words of David spoke, now I didn't want to read the whole section here, but this is Goliath has came, he's taunted everybody, everybody is shaking in their boots, they're afraid that Goliath's going to kill them all, he's huge, he's this huge soldier, nobody wants to fight, Saul doesn't want to fight, God has been with them, they have destroyed and have taken out every nation up to this point, and everybody's like, oh well, we can't do this one. And so, David's a young boy. He's fed up with all the trash talk. And in verse 31, When the words of David spoke were heard, they informed Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "May no one's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine." But Saul said to David, "You are not able to go up against this Philistine and fight him, for you're only a youth, while he has been a warrior since his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took sheep from the flock, I went out and after it and attacked it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it rose up against me, I grabbed it by its mane, and I struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go up, and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with the military attire and put bronze helmet on his head and outfitted him with armor. And David strapped on his sword and his military attire and struggled walking, for he had not been trained with armor. So David said to Saul, "I cannot go up with these, because I have been not trained with them." And David took them off. David went head first into battle, and you'll see he's running into battle. Brave, fearless, knowing that God is with him. And winds up hitting Goliath with a stone in the head and then cutting his own head off with Goliath's own sword. We need to be fearless like David. We need to be fearless like Daniel. A law was passed. People didn't like Daniel. Daniel had been excelling where he was at. The king was liking him and he didn't like it. People around did not like this, and they knew Daniel was a faithful person. In verse 10, "Now when Daniel learned that the document was..." He opened up all of his windows, or opened these windows up. "And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and offering praise before his God, just as he'd been doing previously." Law was passed that you're going to be killed, and Daniel said, "I'm going home, I'm opening my windows, I'm going to be fearless, I'm going to be brave." Then those men in verse 11 came by agreement and found Daniel offering a prayer and imploring favor by his God. Then they approached and spoke before the king and the king's injunctions. "Did you not sign an injunction that says that any person who offers prayers to any god or person besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be thrown into the lion's den?" The king replied, "This statement is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked." Then he responded and spoke before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction in which you signed, but keeps offering his prayer 3 times a day. And you know what? They came and arrested Daniel. Interesting enough, Nebuchadnezzar was on Daniel's side here, was actually believed that things were going to work out well for him. And Daniel was brave and was fearless and was thrown in that lion's den. And the next morning was still there and nothing happened to him. We need to be fearless like Caleb and Joshua. You know, the spies go out and they begin to look in the land and they come back and they start giving their report. And it's interesting here, of all the spies, only two were brave. In verse 30 here of Numbers 13, and we'll look at Numbers 13 and Numbers 14. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'We should by all means go up in possession of it, for we certainly prevail over it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people because they are too strong for us.' So they brought a bad report of the land which they had spied out on the sons of Israel, saying, 'The land though which have gone to spy out of this land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people who saw it are people of great stature. We also saw the Nephilim that were there, the sons of Anak and part of the Nephilim. And they were, well, we were like grasshoppers in our sight. And so we were in their sight.'" So Caleb says, "Yeah, we can take this. Let's go do it." And everybody else is like, "Oh, yeah, we're like grasshoppers. We're gonna get beat up. There's no way that we can do this." You skip on to chapter 14. "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, 'The land which we pass through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey, Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of that land, for they will be our prey. Their protection is gone from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But the congregation said to stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent meeting, and all the sons of Israel, Joshua and Caleb, pleaded with the people not to be fearful, and that we could take the land. And anyway, it wound up costing the people and all the other spies their lives. And ultimately, Joshua and Caleb did get to go in the land, and they did take the land. But it took a few years before that happened. We need to be fearless like Joshua and Caleb. And we also need to be fearless like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, just like Daniel, they were told they couldn't do something either. In verse 16 here of Daniel chapter 3 and verse 13, we'll look at 16 here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "Nebuchadnezzar, we are in no need of an answer to give you concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we're able to serve to rescue us from the furnace of the blazing fire, he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods nor worship the golden statue that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expressions was changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he answered by giving the orders to heat the furnace seven times more than it had usually been heated. And he ordered a certain valiant warriors who were there with his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to throw them into the furnace of the blazing fire. Then those men who tied up their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their other clothes, and were thrown into the middle of the furnace of the blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was harsh, and the furnace had been extremely hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the middle of the furnace of the blazing fire, still tied up. They went in brave. They had no fear. They believed God would take care of them, but even if he didn't, they were still doing what they were supposed to serve God. And ultimately, they came out of the fire. You know, this next one I'm going to show you is a great example for us, because it could be us. It could be that one day in our past or one day in our future, that we are fearful and we are scared and we act on that fear. But you know, we can grow, we can change, we can move forward. And Peter was one that did that. And I put it here, be fearless like Peter. You know, Peter was scared and denied Jesus three times. But some 50 days later, he stood up in front of thousands of people. At least 5,000. I don't know how many more. And he professed Jesus, and he stood there with no fear of anything. No fear of what was going to happen to him. He stood there, and he taught Jesus. He taught the Jews, and he even told them that you're the ones who crucified him. And he threw it all on them. And he was no longer scared. He became brave, and he was fearless for the rest of his life from this point on, that we know at least from the text. We need to follow the example of Peter and grow if we have times that we are in a situation that fear overtakes us. You can overcome your fears. You know, it's interesting reading a lot of what Paul wrote and the things that Paul went through. And I took a couple of verses out of Philippians here. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. He's having an interesting dialogue here talking about, I guess, life here. And he says, "Now that I've already grasped it, or I've already become perfect, but I press on that I may take hold of for which I have even taken hold by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having taken hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind." And I want to stop there. There's a lot of things that lie behind us. There's a lot of things. I don't care how old you are, there are things that lie behind you. Unfortunately, the older you get, the more things that lie behind you. Maybe a lot more things that you want to forget and move forward. But he says here, "I do not regard having myself taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press forward to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He keeps moving forward. And I think it probably, there are things that probably are fearful and things that are in front of him, but he keeps pressing forward. And how is he able to do this? He tells you in chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. I keep moving forward. Just like I think about David running toward. I keep moving forward because I know Christ is with me. I know that God is with me. I know that I can do all these things, and I don't need to be fearful anymore. Don't let Satan use fear to get you down and to break your stride. I love 80s music. I don't know if anybody knows that or not. Probably the best decade of music, period, of all time, ever. There's not been any good music since the 80s. There's a really cool song by Matthew Wilder. Ain't nothing gonna break my stride. No one's gonna slow me down. Oh no, I gotta keep on moving. Ain't nothing gonna break my stride. I'm running and I won't touch the ground. Oh no, I gotta keep on moving. Now, he's talking about a girl that broke up with him, and he's going to get through that, and he's going to move on. But I like this section here. Nothing's going to break my stride. Hey, fear is not going to prevent me and not going to break my stride from moving. I'm going to conquer that. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to get through it. I know I can. Christ is with me. I can do all things through him. I'm going to keep moving forward. It's interesting. A couple years ago, this girl in college, she wrote an article, 100 Things That Scare Me. I'm planning to live a year of fear. We probably don't think about that sometime, living a year of fear, but maybe we do live a year of fear. She was inspired by a book, and I don't know, haven't read the book, don't know a lot about it, but she says, I'm currently reading My Year with Eleanor. I highly recommend it. It's a memoir describing Noel Hancock's, the author, decision to live a year of fear in response to Eleanor Roosevelt's quote, do one thing every day that scares you. You know, that sounds like a great idea. Do one thing every day that scares you. That'd be 365 things in a year. You could conquer some things. So, I didn't put 365 things up here, but this lady listed 100 things that scares her. And I'm not running long, so I will go through some of these. I didn't know where I was going to come in on time here. So these are probably things that scare you. She's got here ducks and geese and assorted birds, saying hi to a complete stranger, unsteady bridges. Anybody not like going over unsteady bridges? Snakes, giving someone incorrect directions, swallowing a pill, confrontation, frog hopper ride at amusement parks, driving on the interstate, raising my hand in class, texting the word definitely because I never know sure how I'm spelling it right. I don't spell anything right anyway, so I got over that fear a long time ago. Haunted houses, bees, heights, going up ladders, you know, jumping into water. I don't like jumping into water. Coming on too strong, dancing in public, being in charge of something important, walking by street performers, anything to do with vulnerability. Her list is pretty good so far, isn't it? Changing a diaper. Failing at something I was confident about, going first, dyeing my hair, being put on the spot, rejection, sending my order back to the kitchen if they mess up my order. I'm not doing that one. I am very scared that something's going to happen to my food on that one. Definitely not doing that one. Calling someone by the wrong name, falling down the stairs in front of people, forgetting my favorite memories, going to a concert while I don't know all the songs, telling people what I'm afraid of, losing my hearing, losing my vision, sharks. Wearing hats, not being good enough, being picked to be a volunteer at a show, conflict, getting hurt, speaking a foreign language to someone who speaks the language fluently, shaking hands, a lot of people are scared of that right now, indoor rock climbing, asking for help, getting a caricature of me drawn, making a decision with inadequate time to think about it, skydiving, accidentally offending someone, running in public, missing out, oceans. Falling in love, never falling in love. Correcting people when they are mispronouncing my name. Spiders, horror films, forgetting to do something important. Opening the door when I'm not sure whether to push or to pull. I hate when I walk into a door. That's so embarrassing. I do get scared of that. Being hypnotized. No way, Jose, is that ever going to happen to me? Eating by myself in public place. Saying no. Saying yes. Wearing clothes I'm not completely comfortable in. Telling the truth when it's risky. Talking about politics. Uncomfortable social situations. Leaving the country. Passing out. Climbing trees. Singing in public. People thinking I'm not smart. Being boring. Doctor appointments. Spicy foods. Anything, any kind of piercing. Not being successful. Walking past the groups of middle schoolers. Middle-aged schoolers. Hugging acquaintances. Cartwheels. Getting lost. Being attacked. Making a bad grade, crying in front of people, disappointing someone, ordering something off the menu that I've never had before, not having control over my choices, roller skating, job interviews, having my card declined, making a big mistake, not knowing what other people think of me, knowing what other people think of me, very scary. The future, going into a bathroom stall that doesn't have toilet paper, being laughed at. People singing happy birthday to me, sharing how I feel, giving someone a terrible gift, being the weak link. And the last one here, living a life of fear. I think a lot of these fears are most people's fears. There's a lot of fears that people deal with every day. And I'm going to go back to this quote here. Do one thing every day that scares you. Ladies and gentlemen, stop being afraid. Be like Daniel. Be like David. Be like Meshach, Abednego. And if you don't say the first one, you always mess up the next two. So Meshach, whatever. Abednego. Shadrach, there we go. Be like Peter. We've got to stop being afraid. But if you're like Gerald, I can't do that. I need to be afraid of something. I need to be afraid of something. If you must fear, if you're saying, I gotta fear, if you must fear, fear God. Because that's the only thing you should fear. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you must fear, fear God. Matthew 10:28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and are unable to kill the soul. You know, that's a pretty amazing statement there. People can do, they can do everything they can want to you, but they can't take your soul. They can't kill your soul. But he says, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. If you have to fear something, fear God. And the last verse of the day, Ecclesiastes 12:13. The conclusion, when everything has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments. Because this applies to every person. Let's put our fears aside in 2022. And let's fear God only. And everything else, hey, let's let it go. If you're someone here today who has not decided to become a Christian. You may have a fear for that. You may have a fear that you have to be perfect. You may have a fear of coming in front of people. You may have a fear that you're not good enough. You may have a fear that there's a million fears that could prevent you from doing that. I ask you to put those aside this morning and I ask you to become a Christian. You can walk down and you can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus is the Son of God and we can baptize you. If there are things that have been going on in your life that you've been a Christian and you have fallen away and things that have happened and maybe you haven't been brave or stood up or done things or maybe Satan has gotten to you and you want to make those things right, you can do that this morning as well. If anyone is subject to the invitation, please come now as we stand and sing.
Who at my door is there?